This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Unscripted, uncensored, and radio. This is what we do. CliffCentral.com. This is where we at. Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Debo Homafodi, and I'm more than anything excited. This is the last show of the year. 360 Biz. This is what we at. Like I said, my name is Debo Homafodi, and I'm not alone in studio. I'm with Mr. Get Things Done, my boy.
Yes, sir. Are How's everybody doing out there? Man, I know I'm having fun. I know I'm enjoying my December. I know I'm happy to be here today. Although I could have been in Mauritius somewhere, but I gave it up to be here.
Oh, really?
The guys of Central, yeah.
Okay, you'll
be... Because that's how dedicated.
Oh, my God. You should be... You could have been sipping cocktails.
Definitely.
You could
have been... Definitely. I mean, at that invitation, I just thought to myself, I have to be here and rescue the radio station. Give everybody else excitement and joy and peace, so...
You know what has been the strangest thing though, it's moving from home and hitting the road, my man, just to get here and do the show, to get here all the way, my man, to be discussing business, eh?
But it's a huge differential, because you know, from the laid back December vibe to coming here to do a business show, it's something.
Yeah, I'm sure people are probably chilling in the Chisanyama somewhere, brying meat, you know, others are actually, you know what, just having a laid-back session.
Yeah, man, people are doing something interesting. I think of it as something interesting because people are actually preparing. Some of them are actually preparing for stress in January, because you know how January is. A bit bumpy.
Yes, no, it's actually true. Before, I mean, as I was on my way here in the car, I was actually doing some radio interview as well. I mean, in terms of preparing and getting ready for the new year. Because obviously one of the things that we do as people, we want to get ready in 2016, for 2016. I mean, when else? This is the perfect time and the perfect year to actually do that, eh?
No, this is the best time. I mean, I'd like to think to myself that the best time to actually take vacation or go on vacation is January. And the prices are down. When you are the one who's got the widest smile and everybody else is just stressed.
Yeah, man. I mean, spoken like a true businessman. I mean, I'm excited as well about, I mean, you heard before the show started. I mean, the boss, Gareth Cliff, speaking about the year-end party, man. I'm looking forward to that, eh?
Man, I think it's going to be so interesting because it won't be kind of like the... places or parties I've been to, so it's gonna be pretty proper.
And I mean, the interesting thing you heard, I mean, we're taking over the VIP, so I mean, if ever people must join in, I mean,
you know,
come meet their favorite radio personalities,
I know,
and take their pictures. And
I know years ago, I went to it was in Balito in Durban, and Gareth was there. Man, it was amazing. I can definitely guarantee that it was amazing, and it's definitely good. And just to throw in another value-added notable feature there, I held that dance floor down.
Oh, really? So you danced?
I held it down.
No. Good thing about today is that we're running a two-hour show, so obviously we've got some good music and some good gems. I want to see you doing the nanas. I want to see you doing the dance in studio.
And we've got beautiful ladies in the house as well.
I mean, who said businessmen can't dance?
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
So we're going to see you dance, right? Yeah. No, but coming back to the business of the day, I mean, today's show, we bring you the last installment of 360 Biz in the year 2015. Like I've said, I mean, just to remind a few of you that 360 Biz is a business show that brings you many viewpoints on the table, all things business. We bring you together all stakeholders, established businesses, government, SMEs, entrepreneurs, professionals, and legislators to tackle and provide practical solutions for real challenges facing African businesses, whether being big, small, formal, informal business. This is what we do. And fact is, opportunities are explored, challenges are tackled, solutions are shared, knowledge and wisdom is imparted. That's why S360 Biz and Cliff Central, we do all this in a bid to equip and empower business people in South Africa and the entire continent. This is definitely what we're on about, S360 Biz. I mean, more than anything, it has been a beautiful 2015. A lot of things happened. I mean, one of the things that I think, Bulelani, that we need to take a highlight on is doing a countdown for businesses that has actually, some of the things that have taken place this year, whether being businesses on the show and more than anything, businesses of the national interest. And more than anything, I'm actually excited that some of the guests that we have in studio that are going to be joining us on the line, one of the very few first guests that we're going to be having, it's Thokozani Nkosi, the CEO of Talks Media. He's got a couple of shows, an SABC one. being what shows does Thokozani have? I know he's got a lot of shows.
You know, immediately when I saw his picture,
yeah,
I remembered back in the days, Yizo Yizo. That's the first thing that jumped off my brain. And to see the brother holding it down so nice, it is something pretty amazing, and it's something to be commended as well, because not a lot of guys in the entertainment industry grow to that level where they actually take their expertise, formalize them into a business, and then start monetizing them because of the experience that they've had. Obviously,
no, it's true. I mean, the brother has been doing well from being a mere actor. I mean, to being a director, to being a producer. I mean, now he's one of the country's respectable businessmen in the media space. I mean, I'm actually excited that as well. Later on in the show, we're going to be having the likes of Nosy Pombacho. She's an anchor for CNBC. You know Nosy,
the real Nosy.
Yeah, the one and only real Nosy. We're gonna be definitely having her. We want her to bring her some of her anchoring here and tell us. I mean, she does business daily. I mean, she anchors on business issues daily. Obviously, she's gonna be bringing us some of the expertise on some of the things that stood out for her within the country and within the continent. I mean, you know, it's quite. You don't know how inspirational it is. Or how amazing it is to actually have women out there that they are not only beautiful and they've actually taken their beauty and put it in the face, but they've got brains too to accompany that.
You know, hey? just on that point, I just want to throw it out there that it is a huge challenge. I know from time to time when we're looking for women on the show, it is a huge challenge to find women in business or women doing stuff, because there's just so many men everywhere that we're actually looking for that voice from women. So whenever you come across, you know, women like Nosy or women that are actually doing stuff, you kind of latch onto them because these lady. Oh, I see you, this lady, beautiful lady in the studio raising her hand. We know you're doing stuff. But there's just a few of them. And I mean, ladies, go out there, do stuff.
Yeah, no, please. That is so true, Bulela, and what you said. I mean, we really struggle with ladies that are doing amazing things. And you've got all these men that are out there. I mean, if ever ladies are out there listening, I mean, they must holler at the brother. They must holler at the brothers. And I mean, let's celebrate them to say, you know what, there's women that are doing out there. Because what I've realized, though, you have a different sort of women. You have women that are doing very big things, and you have women that are doing very small things. So it leaves a huge gap in between. You know that and it's something obviously that's going to be a problem in our country if ever it's not tackled or dealt with.
And I think quite interestingly enough, there's a lady I'm pursuing, not pursuing in a relationship sense. I'm pursuing. You know, this girl's 25. I'm actually following up on the story just to give a snippet on it. She's 25.
Mm-hmm.
She took over her dad's taxi business. She's got about.
Oh, Miranda Mokwaba.
Yeah, like no, that's we
my,
need to get.
That's my girl. No, I can get Miranda anytime. She's a WhatsApp away, man.
Seriously.
Yeah. She's like, no, that's my girl.
No, man, I read that whole entire thing that she wrote up there, and I was like, what?
No, that's my girl. She's a WhatsApp away. We can definitely bring her on.
I know you're fresh with the girl. When it's business.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? It inspires me. There's something that I read, though. It was saying, in fact, it's what I discovered that I am. It's called sapiosexual. Okay. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Sapiosexual. Sapiosexual.
When you Google it, it actually says he who's attracted or aroused by intelligence. So you know, so it's a bonus when you know.
I can just imagine walking into the township and then you just say that to a random beautiful girl. Sapia who? I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, but Lelan, I mean, some of the highlights that we've had a discussion, and obviously we've discussed before the show. I mean, it's one of the things that I think that is key. That it's on the very first show. I remember that we did. I mean, I had Faith Mangope as a co-presenter. I mean, we spoke about the 3BB codes and innovation management. You know, one of the things that stood out for me, we had the likes of Ntate Trevor, who's a BE consultant. I mean, we spoke about issues that there's a lot of things that in terms of the BE structuring. Obviously, a lot of people, it's December now, I can tell you that they don't know that the new 3BB codes came into effect from May.
No.
And they're not taking advantage of that. They're not positioning themselves with that. I mean, we went to an extent as well of discussing and speaking to corporates that there's a couple of corporates that are missing out on an opportunity of imparting to young business, being enterprise development, in terms of making a difference, obviously, in businesses' life. And the most key thing that I think stood out for me, it was saying that most big businesses, what they're outsourcing non-strategic services to businesses. It's the service of cleaning, the service of security, the service of catering and whatsoever. Where else, services that has to do with strategy, that has to do with all other things, they are not addressed.
No,
they are not,
true.
I mean, outsourced to small business.
No, man, it's true. Because, I mean, when you speak about the topic of BEE or triple BEE, I mean, I think that for the most part, some of the guys that I've come across, they really do it only for compliance. You know, no one has really dug deep to understand what is this thing? How do I take advantage? And I mean, it's something amazing that you pointed out there, taking advantage of things like BEE. And I mean, when you look out there, there's so many opportunities that are available to you. And you'd understand as well that when you're sitting on the bargaining table and you are in right standing with that, you then start to understand when you're dealing with multinationals or large corporates that they actually need you.
Yes.
But more than them needing you, the moment you get into that supply chain, you don't come in because you got that paper and then you get money and you don't deliver, but then you deliver so that you can move further up into the supply chain. There's something also powerful that you spoke, that you touched on there, that
I know, cleaning, I say powerful things. I say powerful. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, that you spoke about cleaning services are outsourced, the non-strategic services are outsourced, security services are outsourced, but how's about some of the more creative, some of the more innovative services that are still, you know, there's a serious stronghold on them that are still outsourced to predominantly large corporates that have been around for years and years, where I feel like the creative element could then still be taken up by an upcoming, you know, by an upcoming company which has the right capacity as well. So I feel like to a certain degree, when you've been doing business for so long, you want to work with people that are credible. So if we also then show up with the document and show credibility and also deliver on the premise or the basis of that document, then we're able to get more business and more referrals, and you're able to go out there and sustain so that it doesn't become a one-night stand sort of a business deal where you got the money, they got their points, then we're done with each other. But they actually see value in being associated with you. So I think that then the relationship becomes strategic in the sense that you actually grow in their supply chain and they actually trust you with way more, so it works 50-50.
Yeah, no, it's something that definitely that needs to be reviewed. So I mean, one of the things that we had a discussion on, I think as later on went on the show, I mean, it was the issue of CSI. I mean, and what are big corporates doing to help SMEs? I know one of the things that we did on a particular day on that show, we had the likes of Tsokosan, we had the likes of GEP, we have a lot of big corporates that were actually coming to studio to say, what are they doing for small business? Because I mean, as big business, it's easy to say, no, we want to see small business grow, but they doing nothing. I mean, it's more like become a talk shop, like government. And I remember on that particular show, we had even the honor of having the MEC, Mr. Lebogang Maile, that came on to the radio show and to actually speak and make a call to business out there that they must come through, they must come out and really become out there for business. So I think, you know what, it's one of the things for me that stood out.
And I think, I mean, I think in that regard, in terms of not making it a talk shop and actually doing stuff, and I mean, when you look at the Tsokosan, for instance, I would have never known that they were doing stuff. So I think that, you know, when we, the moment word needs to get out there about a lot of these different initiatives. I know that I was so surprised when I was speaking to one of the directors of Piedmont and they're doing something there, which, you know, but I mean, it's only for the select few. It kind of seemed like it was only for the select few up until you talk to them. And, you know, they need to kind of tailspin media around some of the things that they're doing. I mean, on the show as well, profile different individuals. I know that it was a third last or the second last show that we did when we had guys from Prime Stars.
I mean,
some of the things that they're doing, I mean, those are initiatives that are in line with the stuff that we're doing, and we have a platform.
And that platform is starting at school,
Exactly.
It's early childhood development.
I mean, imagine and understand developing young people from that age. So, I mean, instead of just making it a checklist and you're just checking it off your list in terms of, I've developed people, we've ran our CSI budget, we're good, we are compliant. I mean, actually, form partnerships and get the word out there so that people know what they're doing. Because I know that, for instance, we in a good place in terms of bringing people into a room and developing and training and instituting ideas and ideologies that are going to help them move their businesses forward. And sometimes you want the marriage of the person who's going to say that, I've got the pocket. If you can create the environment, I've got the pocket, let's merge it together and let's get it going. And sometimes you just have people that, you know, want development. So when you can create a stream, when you can streamline and create a platform for all these people to come into one floor and merge, then it works out way better. Because, I mean, when you look at CSI, sometimes you know, sometimes when you don't see things, you don't even think that they're happening.
That's true.
Which is why when you get information out there, I mean, information is power. When you get information out there to people, you make it known that we are actually out here as the private sector and as government actually doing stuff for you guys. I was pretty, you know, surprised with some of the things that the economic development were up to with the awards and all the stuff. And the
which award?
The awards that they started doing.
Oh, the small business awards, yeah, the one that were recently held, yeah. I think in November or something.
Yeah, yeah, they ran them in November.
Yeah.
It's a great initiative. I mean, it had, you know, people complain there and there about nominations and stuff, but it was a great initiative. I mean, the best time or the best thing that could ever happen to anything that has been spoken about is for you to actually start doing something about it. So, I mean, initiatives like your Kickstarters, initiatives like your Toko Signs, initiative like, you know, whatever initiative the Coke is running or whoever's running, bring it afore and let us on this show actually distribute information out so that people know about it. You never know what synergies could actually come out of that whole thing.
You know, speaking of synergies, Bulela, and one of the things that I was thinking of the other day sitting at home is that we're not maximizing enough. Because right now, I mean, earlier on you spoke of casinos and whatever. I think maybe we need to bring in the likes of the South African Gambling Board. Because these casinos, they've got trust. That are there. One, I mean, it's for business. I know that others are there for education. Others there for that's why obviously people are not taking advantage of these opportunities. People say there's no money, and where else there's so much money out there. And other than the day, it's a question of right now the budget is going back annually because they're not reaching out to the type of businesses they need the number of businesses they need.
That's true.
I mean, and for me, it's sad that obviously we've got shows like 360 Biz where we're talking to business people week in, week out. Then I think maybe it's a question of like we need to probably find a strategy or a way of actually putting them on the platform and actually force a partnership of some kind for them to actually reach the numbers that they want, obviously, for the benefit of many.
Now, that's true, because I think that to a certain degree, when a law has been passed for an organization, or rather upon an organization, or rather upon a set of organizations to fulfill, it is important because there are two characteristics, or rather there are two elements that we look at. The one has been told to do something for a certain group of individuals.
Okay.
But then he needs to have infrastructure to be able to find the right group of individuals. On the other hand, you've got a group of individuals that have been instituted by whatever CSIs or organizations or NPOs or NGOs. Now they're looking for these guys, but the center element there is information, and the information is on the show. The information rather then is the show. So then, I mean, when you start talking about monetizing, you know, I love the idea of monetizing because there's money everywhere. And I believe that, you know, when people talk about there's no money in South Africa, I just look at them with a dead stare, because there's so much money everywhere. You just need to be smart. And there are budgets that are always going back. I mean, I think last month I was giving a talk in Northwest. And just before I gave that talk, I actually went on there and I read the budget speech. It was so interesting that between the year 2014 and the year 2015, their budget for the entire province was 34.2 billion. So, I mean, at the end of that financial year, they had about 280 million, not unaccounted for, but unallocated, that they had to then back 280 million that had to go back.
No, dude, we don't want a lot. They can give us a million.
Just 1%. You know,
just
1%.
You know, yeah.
And, you know, I was just speaking to those guys saying that if you guys would get off your chairs and be creative enough and stop moving away from mainstream business, but do something that would actually get them, you know, jumping off their chairs, get them wanting to give you the 280. They definitely give you the 280 because it doesn't look good on them when they always bring back the 280.
Yeah.
Now they're sitting between 2015 and 2016 with 34.8 billion. And I mean, say to me, it's simple. Same thing is going to happen again, where these guys are not going to be able to spend those funds that they're supposed to spend, and it's going to go back. But we're always sitting talking about BEE is not working for us. We're always sitting there talking about CSI initiatives are not working for us. What is then sitting there talking about there is no information nowhere. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you then start making waves and get information in, because when you get information in, you're able to make decisive decisions. When you get information in, you're able to go out there and actually knock on the right doors and speak to them what they want.
Mm-mm.
Because the information that we're talking about on this show is the kind of information that enables you to kind of also filter what your market is or what markets you want to be selling to.
Mm-hmm.
Because think of it this way. If I walk into your organization and I understand what your organization is all about and what you guys stand for,
yeah.
The moment I'll come in and I want to sell and I speak on the premise, on the basis of your profile, who you are and what you're selling on and what you guys are all about, it's going to be way easier for you guys to actually buy into me and buy into what I'm all about, because I have merged my service. I've merged my service and my offering to what you guys are all about. And it's very, very important, because reading things like the budget piece, for instance, you able to allocate yourself in terms of, this is where I need to go and get money. This is where I need to actually go and sell. This is where I need to actually position my company. And quite recently, you enough, I've been mentoring these two young girls. They're running a CSI.
You're mentoring girls?
Two young girls.
Oh, okay.
Specific. Two young girls.
Okay, continue.
I hope they don't grow. They stay young.
Yeah.
But I'm mentoring these two young girls, and I mean, not really mentoring. I don't like the topic of mentoring much. But I'm helping them, you know, formalize their business. And I mean, it's so interesting that they've seen a gap, and the gap has been the fact that there's money everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're guys that need development. How's about we come in the center, and then we offer the development, and we offer the growth,
mm-hmm.
and we merge the two. So kind of like being a middleman, but being a middleman for good. So they call it social entrepreneurship.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, what you said is very profound. Do you want to say that again? I need to capture you a video of you saying.
I think if I say it again, I'm going to send an invoice.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah. Nah, man, because I mean, it is very, very important. You know, it's very, very important. And I think, you know, we're here day in and day out. And I know 2016 is going to be a big year.
Mm-hmm.
But we need, you know, rallying in of finances so that we can take the show to the people. Because it's good when it's here.
Yeah.
But it's going to be more powerful when we take all this information and we set aside an hour or 2 hours and we bring people into one room and we develop them.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can understand the power of BEE, so that they can understand the bargaining power that they have when they step into boardrooms and they step into meeting rooms, so that they can understand how they can actually send out proposals for CSI and all this stuff. Because I think that for the most part, what we have done is that we've then bred a culture of conformity. By that, I mean, we then only look at notice boards that have quotation requests, and we are always waiting for newspapers on Sunday, and we always go to the back page and we flip through the classified so that we can send a quote. But I mean, if you are going to be the billionaire, the next group of billionaires, the next group of guys that are going to take this country to the next level, then what you are going to need to do is you're actually going to need to be the guy who does the proposals for things that they ain't even thought about.
So it means, in short, I mean, you're talking about a new breed of entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs
definitely.
That are not dependent on tenders.
No, definitely
entrepreneurs that are going out there, I mean, making it happen for themselves without really much being dependent on the government.
No, definitely. Because, I mean, think of it this way. You are always being... You're always been given an opportunity to tender out based on whatever specifications you were given.
Okay.
So in a sense, you are being tendered. Think about it that way. You are being tendered.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to then be a new breed of billionaires, or rather want to enter the billionaire space, then you can't wait to be given the platform. You create the platform, and how you create the platform is by understanding what their corporate governance is understanding who they are as a company, where they're going as an institution, what their motto is, what their objectives are, and then you put together a pitch, and then you pitch on the basis of that.
You know what you said is very interesting. I think maybe let's bring somebody onto the conversation. I've got Babu Thokozani Nkosi. I mean, he's an entrepreneur of note. Like I've said, I mean, he's the CEO of Tox Media Group. Thokozani, how are you, my brother?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
No, good. Thanks, man. Thokozani, thank you for taking your time to actually joining us on the show. Do you want to say hi to the listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Oh, hello, Cliff Central. My name is Thokozani Nkosi. I'm in the media space. I run a company called the Tox Media Group. We focus mainly on making television programs, events, and communication strategies.
Oh, so now you're the type of entrepreneur that we're talking about with Bulelani.
Yes, essentially.
Yeah. So then, Thokozani, more than anything, one of the things that we're talking about today on the show, it's doing the 2015 highlights. Business yes. highlights, and one thing that stood out, and more than anything, it's to help people better prepare themselves for 2016. Yes. I mean, what would you say it's one of the, what would you say it's some things that stood out for you in 2015 this year?
Well, the obvious one, of course, was the removal of the Minister of Finance. and of course the musical chairs that took place over that weekend.
Sure.
The midnight meeting that resulted in us having three ministers in 4 days, that essentially stands out for me, and the fact that the entire leadership didn't realize that was going to cause an upset in the markets and the currency was going to be affected.
Yeah.
So yeah, that for me obviously shook not just the country but the continent and the world. The biggest one also for me was the rate hike, the U.S. rate hike that happened like a decade after the last one that it happened. And we were all on our toes scared that it was going to take our currency into a tailspin because the emerging markets always suffer when these things happen. It looks like we held our own and we essentially managed to survive. The downgrading of our rand also was a standout one for me.
Okay, now sorry, continue.
Yeah. So but also it's been a buyer's market in the stocks, in the listed stocks, in the sense that a lot of the stocks that were unaffordable suddenly became very affordable, and because economic cycles tend to always follow a predictable pattern, whatever is low now will be high later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the best time to have invested was in the 1970s. The next best time is now. So I think essentially this is a buyer's market. Instead of buying that 500 rand lunch with friends, we can bet quite a lot of cheap stocks with that.
Okay, they must know there's no more lunches. No more lunches, yeah.
Well, our president said that we must tighten the belt. I didn't know when he said that. It was because he knew what was coming, the announcements he was going to make. But, so we need to tighten the belt. And for the belt to be tight, you know, you need to eat a little less and buy more stocks.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying, Thokozani? You've mentioned a couple of interesting factors that are closely linked to stocks, are closely linked to affecting the interest rate of the country. I mean, even that weekend that you've made mention of, that I mean, in a weekend we had almost we're in between 3 to 4 ministers until we actually got our own. It's something obviously that is very interesting, and I think as a country or as the president, they didn't see that being affected, and they thought it's something that will only affect them politically, but look at how it affected the rand. On top of, like you've said, you've made mention that the rand has gone so low, like it has not gone in 14 years, and after that announcement, it dipped even further.
Yes, it did. But we should have known that. My concern is that wasn't foreseen. So obviously that became a concern for me.
Hmm. Yeah. So
I've got a 6-year-old daughter. She could have told him that.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the things, Thokozani, I mean, without deviating a lot from what we're talking about, earlier on when the show started, and when I was taking people as to I'm gonna be having you on the show, I mean, one of the discussion we're having in studio with Bulelani was the fact that, dude, you started from the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
You started being from an actor and now being a businessman. And obviously now even in the discussion that you talk, I mean, I doubt there's actors out there that are concerned about the interest hike or whatever. But I mean, you've gradually grown to being this businessman. The reason I'm asking this question is that there's a couple of people out there that want to get into the space of business. There's a lot of people that want to be a Thokozani tomorrow, and that want to be a Deboho, that want to be whoever, but they don't know as to how to go about it. And more than anything, it's fear. What pushed you to decide to say, you know what, I shall not be an employee anymore, I shall be an employer?
I I don't know. I think it was blind faith. I grew up being a very religious guy.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that has not changed though.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. I was worried.
It's yeah. Multiplied now.
Oh, okay.
I grew up being a relatively religious guy, so I learned the element of leap of faith from when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been almost. I don't want to say fearless, but I've tried things. I mean, before I was an actor, I was already sort of like a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 16, I already had my my drama team in place, made up of teenagers, and would perform in places around. You know, so mm-hmm. I've essentially had, I suppose, an entrepreneurial edge to me from when I was very young. So I think. My advice to people is to always look at what you grew up essentially being interested in, because that's where your brain is. Instead of following trends, mm-hmm. rather follow what your path is. What I've noticed is that all the people that have been innovative and have been pioneers in the market have been people that didn't follow, the people that took the road less traveled and, you know, essentially started things. And then everyone else that followed, you know, it's like Coca-Cola. Every cola after that, you don't remember.
Yeah, no, true.
Yeah, so essentially, just chart your own path and create a path where there hasn't been one. And I think that's what's going to create. So instead of looking at what's working, let me join in there and work. And I also want to get it. So I don't think you should get into business. I think you should get into what fulfills you. And if it's business that fulfills you, then you'll find that it won't be about the money. Because I think the problem also is that it's when you go into it for the money.
Yeah. So,
Okay.
I mean, Bulelani said, I mean, before we connected to you on the line, he was speaking about the type of entrepreneurs that don't chase tenders, that are into proposals. Yeah. And also, obviously, being in the space that you're at, obviously, it's what you do. Proposals day in, day out. I mean, and we're going into the new year. People are going to be starting to plan a new year's resolutions and all of these things that they want to do. And by March, those new year's resolutions are forgotten. I mean, how would you say somebody should prepare themselves for the new year?
I think one should have not just a new year plan, but must begin with the end in mind. Basically, know where they want to end up.
Mm-hmm.
Build a picture of the final destination in their head, because the problem with not having a final picture is that you don't have a picture you're looking at. That's why you end up forgetting what your resolutions are, because they're not linked to your final goal.
Mm.
So you need to link your goal, your plans and your resolutions, if you do resolutions, onto your final goal. That if your goal ultimately is to build this, then you start, you know, making small chunks of achievable things in the year. But if they are linked to a bigger goal, then you will succeed. But it can't be an abstract goal that you know, I just want to be rich.
Mm-mm-mm.
Then, you know, it's too abstract. There's no actual goal. You got to know what you want to contribute to the world that hasn't been contributed yet.
Mm-hmm.
That you know that you are uniquely gifted to contribute, because everybody, as we know, has got a unique contributionary gift that they've got. And to establish that and work towards that and stop chasing tenders. chase the dream and tenders will chase you.
Yeah, no, that is very true. That is very true.
Yeah.
Tokozani, how's it, man?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. Bulelani here, no?
Yes, sir.
So, it's so amazing. I was telling Uteboho, you know, when you look at the vast majority of guys that have come up and were given the spotlight, they never were able to monetize it. Do you feel at this point that a lot of your peers are not monetizing it the way that they're supposed to?
Yeah, yes, I think so. But also, I think a lot of the guys that have been able to monetize it, I think it's not because they were able to monetize it. I think they were just surrounded by people who knew how to monetize them. So it's not what first, it's who first. So the key thing is to associate yourself with the right people. If somebody doesn't have any value to add to you, then they've got no business really being around you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people tend to believe the hype. You know, when you get hyped, when the guys that are promoting whatever you're acting in or your album or whatever it is that you're doing, they need to popularize you and make you very popular so that they can sell their product.
That's true.
But they'll only popularize you for as long as you are relevant. Mm. And as soon as you've sold your product, and as soon as your product doesn't sell for whatever reason, they'll popularize somebody else. So the ability to monetize is about creating a brand, and people that are artists generally aren't very administrative. Mm-hmm. So it's good to always have a good manager or an agent or somebody who's got your best interest at heart and look at you and not what you do for them. So I think a lot of the people that they've just been associated with sharks, I guess, people that think more about what buck can I make out of this guy than what can I do for this guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the Josie vibe, you know. you come here being, that's why you can't leave Kelly at standard 7 and say, no, I'm an artist. Then you're going to be very standard 7 in the way you deal with your stuff. And I think that's where the problem starts.
I think I like that.
That's backing ministers.
Bulela was saying he thinks he likes that. But more than anything, I think Bulela, I think more than anything, Togozani, what you said, it's very insightful. But I think maybe we must plan for 2016. Maybe let's have you in studio and let's drill down into details. Because right now, one thing I don't underestimate such conversations, because you don't know whose life you're transforming and whose life you're making a difference in.
Yes. No, I'd love to come in. We need to plan so I can come in and we can delve deeper.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Togozani, before I let you go, we actually usually close off the show in style most of the time. That what we do is that when we're closing off the show, you need to give a 30-second advice or word of encouragement to someone that is listening out there.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my word is easy. And it's simply to say that you're born for a reason, and there's something that only you can do in this world that nobody else can do. And because of that, there are doors that for you that are so open that doesn't matter how hard you try to close them, they won't close. That's why you have whatever gift that you've got. So my advice is to say, hone the gift, forget about the money, let your auntie feed you, until your gift starts attracting people that are willing to pay you for it. I started doing what I'm doing now for free. And the first time I earned a cent from it was not because I asked for that cent, it was because it was offered to me because of what I had done. So I started honing it from when I was very young, and monetizing it became automatic when I perfected it. So I think if you focus on your gift and not on the money will follow the gift.
Right, no, that's very profound. But more than anything, thanks a lot for my brother.
Thank you so much.
And please, next time, be always available to jump in when we need you.
I will do. Not a problem.
And you must call as well when you need us, eh?
Yes, I will do, for sure. Sir.
No, definitely. No, thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, no, that's quite interesting. Coming from Ubaba Nkosi, I think he's grown to be a businessman. More than anything, it tells me one thing, that in life you must settle down, and find that one thing, that makes you you. I mean, we continue with the show. You want to be part of the discussion? You can join in our studio line. It's 0861-555-189. 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is @cliffcentral.com. We're on Facebook as well. Our Facebook chat. Our Facebook page is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. WeChat ID is Cliff Central. And I'm on social media as well. If you want to follow me, it's @debohomafodi. Bulelani, you are?
Bulelani Bala. It's @BulelaniBala. That's both for Instagram and Twitter.
That's both for Instagram and Twitter. Now let's do this then as we continue back with the show.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, you are indeed still tuned in to Cliff Central. My name is Debohoma Fodi. If you've just joined in, you've missed out on an exciting discussion that we had. I mean, we've been practically doing highlights of the 2015, and I mean, we've had the likes of Togozani Nkosi, who's a businessman in the media space as well, who's been sharing what stood out for him in the 2015. One of the things that he made mention of that was interesting, it was actually having the Minister of Finance being deployed, redeployed, and actually having a minister for the weekend. I think it must have been quite very interesting. So it's one of the things that we want to find out about you as well, to say what have been your highlights for 2015. And obviously we have been going through our own highlights, business highlights specifically for the year 2015 as we prepare ourselves for 2016. I mean, if ever you want to join in on the discussion, we studio line, it's 0861-555-189. Our studio line is 0861-555-189.
December is here, and before you know it, 2016 will be here too. If you're in Joburg and still wondering what to do this New Year's Eve, Cliff Central and Madison Avenue want to invite you to the biggest, sexiest party of the year. Join us as our special VIP at Madison Avenue for a celebration that will start 2016 on the right note. Gareth Cliff, O'Neill, Miss Prue, and Irie Kellerman will. Oh, I always get this guy's name wrong.
Which guy is that?
Kelman. I want to say Keller. Keller. I'm kidding. So join Gareth Cliff, O'Neill, Ms. Prue, Ari Kelman. We'll get the party started and keep it going all night. There'll be great music, an outdoor tented area, lots of bars, great food, gorgeous people, and a night to remember. If you haven't made plans yet, this is your time. So book now for... book now for Cliff Rocks Medicine at CompuTicket.com, or you could also go to CliffCentral.com for more details, and stay tuned for everything you need to know. New Year's Eve with Cliff Central, Madison Avenue, and you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, we actually went onto that short commercial song. I mean, that was Ifani with a song called Settle Down. So that's what we've actually been doing in studio today, settling down with the 2015 highlights. I've got an interesting man on the line who as well has been actually in the space, in the media space, and writing up more than anything business columns. He's a colleague of mine within Thames Media Group. That is Ron Derby. Ron, how are you, my brother?
I'm right, yourself.
No, good, thanks. Ron, thanks a lot for taking your time off your holiday and busy schedule to actually have a discussion with us.
No problem at all. Thanks for the invite.
No, definitely. Ron, what would you say has been some of the 2015 business highlights for you this year?
All right, so the stories that made highlights this year, I guess the state of the economy. I mean, the economy continues to slow down. In terms of the fiscus, the fees must fall issue, I guess that's also being, I mean, for the longest time, almost tertiary education hasn't been on the radar. So that would be a big thing on the fiscus. In terms of companies, commodities, the resources, the continued downfall. I mean, a company like Anglo American is as weak as it's been in terms of valuation since 1998 or something like that, and continuously falling. So just watching that dramatic fall off in our resources and henceforth, our mining companies, that was the big story for me this year. What else? I mean, the big story is Eskom, the management changes in the start of the year.
Oh, yes. That was quite hectic. And then. I mean, only to think, Ron, that actually the share price has actually been in a roller coaster this year, eh?
Yes, Ron. I think Anglo.
I'm saying the interest rate.
Oh yes, yeah, so in terms of interest rates, because of the rand weakness. I mean, the rand.
Yeah.
It was always dramatically going to weaken, especially with the emerging market economies falling out of favor. And the thing is, with our South African rand, it's the most liquid emerging market currency. So whenever people feel bad about either Brazil, Russia, or any of the others in our neighborhood, the rand is the first thing they sell, or inversely, if they feel good about emerging markets, the rand is the first thing they buy. So the rand this year has been dramatic.
Yeah.
Of course, not helped by our own faux pas, and like our, I mean, the Kakanene issue debacle that happened a couple of weeks ago, that was a clear case. OMB, the South African messed up their own, yeah, their own currency.
No. I mean, I think the Nene saga has been on everyone's lips, because with Thokozani as well. I mean, that's what he made mention of. I mean, before we actually dwell more into that, Ron, we actually went straight into business, and you forgot to say hi to our listeners and tell us who you are. What is it that you do?
Okay, hello, listeners. My name is Ron Derby. I'm the Business Times editor and a columnist for the Business Times as well.
No. Okay. So then, I mean, tell me, Ron, with this, Nene saga, that has been on everyone's lips. Because I mean, you're the second guest today that's making mention of that. I mean, do you foresee us recovering from that though?
Look, there's things that need to happen. I mean, it was good that in the space of 4 days it was reversed. Right? That shows a shock. There was a shock to the system, and there was a reaction. I mean, it would be worse off if our president continued headstrong with these new ministerial appointments. Mm-hmm. So that was the first step that had to happen, and happen as fast as it did. Now, the second step in regaining basically what is our credibility was in the, particularly the SAA deal, for Treasury to get its way with the SAA deal. It just became, for whatever its merits or demerits of Treasury's SAA deal, and they had to come to be seen as coming, I mean, getting their way, which happened, right? Now, over the next 3 years of Jacob Zuma's presidency, or three years,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to see Treasury falling. What markets want and what rating agencies want now is a more fiscally prudent South Africa. So they've got a rein in spend. And unfortunately, that means in terms of boosting South African growth, Treasury and government can't play that role anymore as much as it has before.
Mm-hmm.
So if that continues, then I guess we'll get back some more credibility. The issue is the nuclear is passed. So this also may be a fine balancing act for Treasury over the next 2-3 years of Zuma's president. I think he's made one of his key things is a nuclear bill. By the time he leaves, there must be some sod turning ceremony somewhere on nuclear. Whether he wants to build a nuclear is another story for a political journalist more. But so it's fiscal prudence. Treasury is going to have to rein in public sector pay. It's going to have to be seen as being very frugal, very much like what Europe went through and is currently still going through in order for us to regain credibility, which is sad in a way because, hence, I don't know who's going to stimulate the South African economy over the next couple of years. It may just be a very rough ride.
So as a columnist, you obviously you've been writing a couple of stories throughout the year 2015. Mm-hmm. I mean, what would you say is the one business story that you wrote as Business Day that actually got to you and really affected you bad in the midst of writing that story?
I've been Business Times editor for the past 6 months, and as such, I don't really write stories, but I've been involved with a few stories. And I guess what we've been doing is actually finding these small towns dotted across Africa that either were mining towns or steel towns will face very dire prospects of either mines closing or steel plants in the case of ArcelorMittal potentially closing. So doing those stories and finding what people on the streets are actually going through. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's what business actually affects. It does affect the man on the street. It's not just the guy with the fancy suit. So doing those stories and actually getting a proper feel of what the slowdown the South African economy has been like for people over the past year, that's touched me the most. It almost depressed me, you know, in a way, because then you see that politically the answers aren't there. You know, we talk about in National Development Plan, NDP, and it's a great piece of document on paper, and the country really needs some sort of new plan. But when you actually see what's going on the street, like on the floor, it's like, I think those types of stories that really hit me this year. I mean, there were others, of course, there were scandalous stories around Lodman trying to be born again, basically, in truth, and other ESCOM intrigue and stuff like that, but
I guess actually seeing the slowdown of the South African economy. I think this year we've seen it. Like, it's been in our face from student protests over fees, because their parents are, I guess, affected by the slowing economy, losing their jobs, unemployment, or not getting the increase it was looking for. So their parents feel the pinch, and by extension, the kids who are at these very expensive universities are feeling the pinch. So that has, I think 2015 has been the hard reality of what the state of the South African economy is.
No, more than anything, thanks for taking your time, Ron, to actually join us. Hopefully, we're looking forward, obviously, to be hearing more and having more discussions, and possibly having you in studio again in 2016 as we unfold business.
Okay, no problem at all. Thanks very much for the invitation again.
No, definitely, my brother.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Cheers.
Yeah, my brother.
I guess if this was a competition, then Nene Saga takes the cup. Someone needs to do a song or something, because it was so remarkable. I mean, over 4 days, but that's a topic.
I mean, but likely, I mean, these are the things that we've managed to recover from as a country, and it's something that is quite interesting. But I think as a country, it's obviously something that we've learned from.
No, definitely.
And you know, I've always said, right now, being in South Africa, I said to you the other day, I said, it takes you going outside the country to realize how broke I am. Yeah. Because in South Africa, it's like you've got money, but, you know, the minute you go abroad, because, I mean, you see how much the rent is actually failing us.
The exchange.
And I mean, right now, we've got other continents that we're competing with that are doing well. I mean, like the brother that I'm going to be having on the line now, Alexander Lebner. He's the digital head for ABN and CNBC Africa. I mean, he's one of the guys that we've had on the show before when we're actually talking and discussing the All Africa Business Awards. Mr. Lebner, how are you, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
No, good. Thanks. I love your energy. December energy, eh?
Yes, I don't know if it's that last December energy or if it's the new energy for the new year, but either which way, I'm glad you enjoy it.
No, definitely. Mr. Lebner, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are. What is it that you do?
So I head up ABN Productions, which is essentially the events business to CNBC Africa on DSTV Channel 410 and Forbes Africa Magazine, which a lot of people will know.
Yeah, no, definitely. And thank you for joining us once more. I mean, you've become family, eh?
Well, I've only been, I think this is my second time on, so I don't know if that qualifies as family quite yet. but I'll take it.
Okay, maybe we need to bring you back the third time, then you'll be family, right?
third time lucky, or third time it'll be official.
Yeah, no, definitely. Alexander, I mean, what would you say, though, what's one of the, what would you say stood out for you? I mean, in 2015, business-wise, because obviously you guys are not only focusing on business within South Africa, but you're focusing on business across the entire continent.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, there's so much to touch on, and I mean, I know you've already kind of discussed, you know, the finance minister's changing, and I mean, there's been a lot of interesting business stories that have popped up, and I mean, one that I've really personally found so fascinating is something that happened in May in Zurich, which was the arrest of some really high-ranking FIFA officials.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire story that has already unfolded, but I think will still unfold over the next 5 years, I reckon, you know, in terms of this entire FIFA corruption scandal and, you know, the business of world football.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, Alex, I had forgotten about the FIFA saga. You know, and that really affected us bad, because I mean it positioned us as a country as if we're entertaining fraudulent activities, and right now, obviously, I know I was reading some report to saying, I mean, in terms of doing business in Africa, we're one of the most trusted countries in the continent to do business with, and right now that affected us. I mean, how was it? Do you think has it really affected us that bad? Or,
well, look, I mean, I think we've got a lot of things that we probably have to fix up in general. So, I mean, I wouldn't really put it down to this the situation around FIFA. And I think, I mean, there's still a lot of information that needs to come out. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's still a lot that needs to happen. And that will probably take a couple of months, if not years, to kind of unfold. So I don't necessarily think that, that, you know, South Africa really had a, you know, that was like the defining moment in terms of do we trust them, don't we trust them as a country. Because I think there were also a lot of other countries that are involved in this entire thing. And I think that's why I was personally so fascinated by it, because, you know, FIFA to some extent kind of created this global event, you know, that is probably the most watched event, you know, after the Olympics around the world. And Zep Blatter, this man who's treated like a head of state, even though he heads no country, he only heads up an organization as such. But yet, you know, all the protocol that comes with being a head of state. And he's, over the last 20 or 30 years, built up this organization that not only impacts world football, but it impacts politics, it impacts business. I mean, you know, the excitement we had when we heard we got the 2010 World Cup, and literally, you know, everyone and their grandmother around the braai was coming up with ideas of opening up guest houses. And
I remember that, and that actually grew a lot of businesses.
Crazy. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. You know what I mean? So I think the story around FIFA wasn't just, you know, a story of a world, you know, an organization that governs world football, but also a story of business and politics. And I mean, we haven't even seen the beginning of it yet. I think there's still so much that's going to come out. But I think what's already kind of been exposed, and I mean, there's this fantastic, journalist from the UK, Andrew Jennings. He's been following the story, I mean, you know, probably for the last 10 years. And he's released some fantastic panorama specials and, you know, written books around this. And the information that's already kind of come out as to the shenanigans that have gone on behind the scenes in terms of, you know, how football is awarded and which countries get it and you know, the business around that. And, I mean, the fact that also Zep Blatter eventually kind of, you know, kind of eventually stepped down and came back again was also based very much on the money that the sponsors were paying and the sponsors that were putting pressure onto FIFA to say, you know, look, if you're not going to clean up, we're going to pull out. It's really, for me, it's one of the most fascinating sports/business stories that are unfolding at the moment. And I'm fascinated to see kind of A, how it's all going to end, and B, what's going to happen to FIFA, who, you know, up until now have run, you know, the most amazing events, you know, from an eventing point of view, have run the most slickest operations in terms of stadiums, and in terms of match times, in terms of the way they do their branding, the way they, I mean, it's incredible
and,
how an organization.
And most profitable too.
Yeah, I mean, tremendously profitable. I mean, I think they even registered as a non-profit organization in Switzerland, which is something the Swiss government couldn't quite understand, you know, how you could have a company like FIFA registered as a non-profit, and then like the Zurich Yodeling Association, which is also on the same level, and here, you know, they're completely different companies or completely different associations, but making, you know, the ones making an absolute fortune and the other ones, you know, sort of just breaking even. And how is that even possible? You know what I mean? So I think it is going to be very interesting to see how this is all going to unfold. And I guess we're going to really only get into it once all the, I suppose, the guilty parties have been transferred to the United States and actually stand trial and actually get to the, you know, the meat of the situation and kind of unpack the entire topic and the entire, you know, structure to how it all happened.
So, but now, I mean, you know, as a country, we've set Tokyo Sekhwale to be the one that fights for the position to represent us as a country. Do you think that is something that's going to affect us as a business? In the country, is it something that can stand a chance of growing us?
You know, I think there's always these sort of, like, you know, global ambassadors for South Africa. And we think of the guys like, you know, Mark Shuttleworth, Charlize Theron, Elon Musk, that somehow always, you know, come out of the ranks, out of South Africans, and kind of do something on a global stage. And I think if Tokyo Sekhwale stepped up and you know, managed to head up FIFA, I mean, I think it would definitely, you know, once again be an opportunity for South Africa to shine. And once again, depending on what it is that he does with that organization, you know, if he gets the chance to run it. I think the biggest question is naturally, you know, how bad is the organization at the moment in terms of the people that are currently in the business, that are currently running it, that are currently still there? You know, how far do the allegations go, and how far does the corruption go? I mean, is it a savable organization, or is it a situation where they literally have to start from scratch and actually rebuild the whole concept? And I mean, I don't even want to know what the impact or the you know, the ramifications of that is. But I think, you know, any South African stepping up and representing the country on a global stage in a positive way, I think is always a good thing. Mm. And I think we as South Africans have always been great at that.
Yeah.
You know, in many ways. Mm. And I think sometimes we really do underplay our achievements, you know, be they individual or at sports teams. And I think, you know, it'd be great to see that happen.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, more than anything, thanks a lot, Alexander. It was quite insightful. Then, you know, like how we close, we actually close off in style. Words of 30 seconds, encouragement to someone that's listening.
Hey, you know what? I think any piece of advice I can give anyone for 2016 is to really work hard at what it is that you want to do. I think at the end of the day, and I think we discussed this last time I was on with you, is that at the end of the day, you know, work will beat talent anytime. I mean, you can be as talented as you want to be, but if you're not willing to put in the work and you're not willing to really burn the midnight oil and make something happen, you know, it's not going to fall in your lap. No one's going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So put your head down, focus on what you want to get done in 2016, and put in the work, and the results will speak for themselves.
No, definitely. No, thanks a lot, Mr. Alexander. It's just great having a chat once more. Eh?
Thanks again for having me on, and Happy New Year to all your listeners.
No, definitely. Looking forward to seeing you in 2016.
I'll pencil it in my diary right now.
Yeah. and hopefully it will be in a suit like once more. Eh?
Yeah, I'll have to go get a new one.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I'll get mine ready as well.
Fantastic.
Okay, thanks a lot, Alex.
Yeah,
and Bulelani, I mean, come to think of it, I didn't really think that this FIFA thing really affected us that bad, eh?
No, man, the FIFA thing, and it's something that I actually had forgotten about as well, because it's so interesting. What he touched on as well is that when they enter a country, you'd swear the gentleman, Mr. Sepp Blatter, was a president, because the way everything just shuts down. Mm. But, you know, with the recent scandals, and I mean, there have been rumors of scandals throughout the years, but nothing had materialized like it did now. You know, with the US being the superpower, they're the ones that are going to conduct the trial and all that stuff. But it'd be interesting to actually see as well, because when the story broke out, my biggest thing was I'd actually be keen to see how it was all going to unfold, you know, as all the ants come out the woodwork, so that we get a fair share and understanding of what the heavens is actually going on. And I think that from a reputation perspective, it kind of dented us. I really feel like it kind of dented us to a certain perspective when it seemed as if we were paying bribes to get this thing here.
It
wasn't even like that, because I know my country is not like that.
I mean, speaking of that, I'm more than anything proud to be introducing Nozi Pomba. I mean, she's an anchor and an MD of Agwande Communication, like we said earlier. Speaking of okay, I think her line is, we've just lost. I mean, like we've said earlier, I mean, speaking of the market and how bad has business been affected. I mean, the market has been a roller coaster going up and down this year. So obviously I felt that it wouldn't be doing justice if we're not going to have Nozi Po come in and actually give us her insight, because I mean, she reports on these markets daily, day in, day out. So obviously I know she's dealt with a couple of stories that are related to as far as our market is concerned. I mean, it's like what we said earlier when we spoke about Beauty with Brains. I mean, I was reading one of the things about Nozi Po. It actually said she's stylish and gorgeous. Nozi Po is one of the South African gems in the communications arena with a huge voice and brain. I can attest to the issue of voice, madam, because I've had the privilege of being in the same room with you hosting the All Africa Business Awards. And in terms of brains too, you know, so do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Oh, yes. So kind. Thank you so much for all those kind words. Lovely connecting with you in this final days of 2015. It's been an awesome year. And, of course, it's also been a very big year on the corporate front in South Africa.
Okay. No, definitely. And more than anything, thank you for taking your time on holiday to actually speak to us, eh?
No, absolutely. Anything to make sure that we wrap up the year well. I think big up to you guys that are still holding up the fort and doing the good work that you're doing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks a lot, man. I'm not alone in studio. I'm with Bulelani Bala. Bala, is it Bala Bala? Mm-hmm.
It's Bala Bala.
Yeah, the man with a good voice. Whenever he approaches the mic, it's like the man prepares himself. So when I told him earlier that we having you on in studio, he says, "Oh no, Zippo."
I had to prepare my voice and say, "Hey."
Good afternoon, to you both. Lovely to hear the good voice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, definitely. I mean, Nozipo, getting back to business, I mean, what would you say is one of the things that stood out for you, you know, in 2015, as far as I mean, what really affected us, or that affected the market? I felt that, you know what, we wouldn't be doing justice if we wouldn't have you giving us your roundup of big corporate stories that really shook us, because obviously this is what you do daily. This is what really, I mean, affects you. I think you're better much handling it than other people.
Oh, thank you so much. So, I mean, it's been a very, very busy year on the financial markets front, not only in South Africa, but I just think continent-wide. And perhaps maybe five themes that I think have really stood out for me and just resonate with the theme of what really shook the markets this year. I think it's all very fresh in our minds for now, this cabinet reshuffle that our president had with the movement around the finance ministry portfolio. I think that's really still top of mind.
You're the third person today that is making mention of that.
Absolutely. I think it was it's not even an elephant in the room, right? The herd of elephants are speaking into one room. So that's certainly one of the five. And then MTN, wow, what a huge story. And this is, of course, around the fine that was left on them by the Nigerian regulator in the telecom.
Oh, yes, that is a big one, yeah.
And that's still going on, right? Because we know that there was a deadline that was set for the 31st of December to for them to honor that fine. So that story is not over yet, right? And there's still more to come from that front. You know that MTN's in court. They've decided that they are done just negotiating on good faith. They've taken this to the court. So we're certainly still going to be keeping our eyes on that. And another big one, I think, I know a friend of mine, when I was telling him about this conversation, kind of like jabbed me a bit when I said the Marion Roberts Bridge collapse.
Cause it's yes.
Sneaky.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You can't call it the Marion Roberts Bridge collapse, call it the M1 Bridge collapse, but we know that this is a Marion Roberts story, right? The share price tanked on the news. It was right at the beginning of the whole Fenton Incomobility Festival that the mayor Park Style had this started and this opened. That is a huge story, not only because it was a Marion Roberts story, but it was a construction sector story. It reminded us about the sector and the kind of pressure that the sector is under. And also, it also then opened up the conversation around, well, we still have just a couple of big boys playing in the space and a lot of small black companies that aren't actually getting their share of the construction pie. And so the conversation was really interesting that you know, emanated around Marion Roberts. And we can certainly talk about that a little bit more. My number four is Lonmin, right? So, and I'm singling out Lonmin only because it was, you know, there was a huge issue around raising funds that shareholders had to vote for in the rights issue. And there was a lot of speculation whether shareholders would actually support this rights issue. So I think, if my numbers are correct, I think they wanted to raise in around 4 billion rand to top up the company, right? And if the shareholders had said no, there would be no Lonmin today. And so this was very significant. But also, I think it was just a reflection of the broader tension in the mining sector. The mining sector in South Africa certainly having moved from its glory days to not only just be an innocent decline, but one that is severely under pressure. As we speak now, we know that Lonmin is in the process of shedding about 6,000 jobs. And 6,000 is a huge number. That's 6,000 breadwinners and thousands of people who are dependent on them, right? And this is a personal story for many of us who know that our economy is built on the mining sector, but it's also a global story because we know that what's happening with Lonmin is not just a South African issue. Commodity prices are under pressure. A lot of this has been traced back to the fact that the Chinese economy is slowing down, and so the demand for a lot of the minerals that come out of economies like South Africa is certainly down. So when demand comes down, we also know that the price then also comes under pressure. And so the commodity price then flattens. And then you have all these mining companies that are in trouble. So that was a huge story for me, simply because there was just such a big speculation around whether this company is going to make it or not. The CEO, Ben Magara, survived it, right? And I thought that was interesting because usually we're used to seeing heads roll in South Africa when something like this happens. Which brings me to my last theme, which is the men and women who actually who survived or left their jobs as chief executives in South Africa in 2015, and Admiral Ben Magara surviving is certainly interesting. We know that just recently, the CEO of Oslimoto, Paul Oflaherty, he, if you remember, came from Sasol.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and he's just been in the job for 18 months, and he's already packing up his bags and leaving. And we know that this matters because Oslimoto, if you know anything about Vereeniging and the Vaal, that whole part of the country is dependent on just that one company for jobs, right? So the company is under pressure because steel prices are under pressure because the Chinese are dumping cheap steel in South Africa. And so we had a lot of conversation in the country about, well, what if we have this thing that we can call a developmental pricing around the steel industry, right? So as a way of protecting the industry from these cheap imports. And that created a lot of conversation about our relationship with the Chinese and the degree to which we'll go to protect our markets or not. So Paul Oflaherty is on his way out. Another CEO who's recently resigned, I think it's been about a month and a half now, is Sunil Joshi. Now he's the CEO of Neotel. And this has brought a lot of question marks because we know that there's been a big talk of a deal between Vodacom and Neotel, which is suddenly now under question because, well, the CEO has decided that he's had enough. And he's been accused of corruption. He has cleared his name, though, and so that's been really interesting in the telecom space. And maybe two more gentlemen have caught my attention. One is Brian Molefe. We know that prior to Brian, load shedding was a huge issue, right, in South Africa. Certainly seems like a man who knows what he's doing. He's in the driving seat at Eskom.
No, that man is a rock star.
That man's a rock star, right? So he's certainly at least given us a good Christmas. So that was an interesting appointment. There's a lot of conversation about, well, what does this actually mean? Because we know that he was appointed for 3 months, and then we were told that he doesn't know it yet, but his 3 months has been extended. And he came out in the media and says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And 2 or 3 days later, then the announcement becomes official. So I'm not sure who had egg on their face at the end of that. And the final man we're talking about this year in terms of a mover and shaker in the corporate space has been Peter Matlare, the former CEO of Tiger Brands. Not necessarily a good story because we know that Tiger Brands is just getting a walloping in Nigeria, right? It's not just MTN that is finding it really tough to operate in the Nigerian market. Tiger Brands, in particular, losing a lot of money because of a stake that they hold in Dangote flour mills. And that company becoming under pressure, and as a result, Tiger Brands losing a lot of money. In fact, one of the richest men in Africa, Aliko Dangote, he himself resigned as an executive director on the board of that company. So that's not just a South African story, but that was a continental story, right? That was so big in the sense that it made the world actually question, well, everybody's talking about, you know, how doing business in Africa is supposed to be the next best thing to go to do, and Nigeria is supposed to be thriving with, you know, all these investment opportunities. And yes, companies like MTN, like Tiger Brands, and others are actually not getting it right. So what is it about the Nigerian market that's making it so tough to cut? And a lot of it actually connects to the oil story, right? And so the Nigerians, being so dependent on oil, find themselves in a situation where the revenues that the country is expecting to come in aren't actually being made because the oil price is so much lower. You've also got other players coming into the oil market, right? So Libya coming back into play. You've got OPEC deciding that, you know what, we're going to continue pumping oil so that, you know, the supply of oil is high in the market, driving down the price of oil. And that's just knocked the Nigerian economy excessively. And that's been a big theme. But we know that the oil price, right, is not just about what happens in Nigeria. It's a global play. But it is good news for consumers, especially in South Africa, where the anticipated effect is that, you know, in the long term, we should see lower petrol prices. We should see actually cheaper goods because ultimately the fuel that's used to get these goods from one place to another is all dependent on this oil. But unfortunately, that's what it looks like on paper. It doesn't always look play out that way in practice because, on the other hand, you've got things like interest rates that are expected to go up in 2016.
Yeah, I was about to say we own December. At least let's as well cover the positive ones, you know, before I let you go.
No, so look, I will never put myself in a position where I would need to predict the direction of the oil price and how low it's going to go. But there have been reports, right, that have come out, and the reports suggest that, you know, oil price might go down to as low as $20 per barrel. Now, that is really, really good news for consumers and excessively bad news for petroleum-facing companies. But $20 per barrel is good. I think the last time we were looking at the oil price, it had just dipped below $40 per barrel. But this is from like 100. So this is a big deal if it goes to 20, right? It's falling from $100 a barrel right down to about 20. So it's been a busy year, right? I mean, I've been rattling on for a good solid 5 minutes just of just like five big themes that I've picked up just by doing a quick reflection of what's been happening. But very happy to dig any deeper into any one of these. But it's been an exciting year, but it's been a heavy year. But I also think that it's also setting the tone for 2016 because I think things are not necessarily going to be slowing down, not only for South Africa. The impact of the Fed and those interest rate hikes is going to begin to make itself felt in the South African economy and on the South African market. The bad news about this is that we know that there's going to be major outflows of investments from emerging markets, which South Africa is one. And into developed markets, right? So money is going to be leaving South Africa and headed back to markets like the U.S. where interest rates are going to be better. Granted, this is not the biggest rate hike, but gradually we know that the Fed is going to continuously increase interest rates. And so it's going to be harder and harder for South Africa to put forward a case for investment. Like, why would you bring your money here? If you can make a higher and a more healthier return in another market. So innovation is certainly going to be something that all companies are going to have to, those who plan on surviving and riding this wave are going to be really have to be good at, because they need to outmaneuver, outsmart, and out-innovate each other so that they continue to thrive in the South African economy and continue to prop up the financial markets on this end of the world.
Wow, no, that's quite insightful. You know, I'd swear that you've got a script next to you reading all this thing, but I know for a fact that this is all in your head.
I just have a big mouth.
You just have a big mouth. No. I need to be bringing that big mouth to studio next year.
Yes.
No, thanking you in advance. Looking forward to be having you in studio and actually unfolding some of these discussions further. I mean, usually, Nozipho, we actually close off the show in style terms of giving a 30 seconds advice or word of inspiration or encouragement to somebody that's listening. What would you say to them as I let you go?
Thank you so much for the opportunity. So, you know, one of the things that I'm really, really passionate about is young entrepreneurs. So these are young people who have decided to step up and not follow the conventional route. They've decided to follow the dreams And this is not just like, you know, some fluff inspirational thing to say, follow your dreams and do what you want. But they found a gap in the market, and they've left onto that gap with both hands, and they're running with it. And so if you are a young entrepreneur and you are, and you have put your neck out and you've decided that you're going to bring a product, a service, or a solution to the market, I wish you the best of luck in 2016. And I really hope that you are able to surround yourself with a network of people who are going to help you to step it up and make it big. We can only offer advice and direction, but there are certainly places where you can get funding and you can get the network that you need. You need more young South Africans who are just taking, building this or rebuilding this country and rebuilding this economy into their own hands. I'm 200% behind that, and that's my message for the end of 2015.
Wow. No, thanks a lot, ma'am. And thank you once more for taking your time to actually talking to us today, and looking forward to engaging further with you in the new year.
Yeah, you guys are absolutely welcome. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
No, definitely.
This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
Indeed, this is CliffCentral.com. If ever you've just tuned in, you are listening to 360 Biz. I'm sitting with my boy, Bulelani Balabala.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, no, sir. This man is still traumatized from the discussion Nozipo shared. I mean, I must say, it's quite an insightful. If ever you've just tuned in, you've missed out on an interesting insight that we had from Nozipo. She's an anchor and a business commentator for CNBC Africa. I mean, discussing some of the disturbance and the highlights in 2015 that really affected the market drastically. And I think I must say that, you know what, after all of that, you know, it's something that really we need to be closing off better in style. I mean, we're left with about 25 minutes on the show. And definitely there's no way we could be utilizing this 25 minutes without having a powerhouse in on the line with us. I mean, you could imagine if Judici would have been in studio with us. But hey, what can we say? People have got stuff to do. I want to introduce her. I'll let her introduce herself and tell us who she is, what is it that she does. She's an amazing woman. I've had the privilege of having her on the show, and more than anything, quite insightful. If, Bolerani, you think, dude, we don't know people, we know people that are breathing inspiration daily. How are you, my sister? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I told myself that I'm not going to introduce you. You'll introduce yourself.
Manoa Pass. I'll just introduce myself anyway. Okay.
Yeah, no. You can speak. Say hi to the listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
We're already on air. Hello, everybody. Hi, Cliff Central listeners. I hope that you had an awesome Christmas and you're looking forward to the new year, and that you're working off the calories that you've eaten. I know that I'm trying to do that. My name is Olga Mishner, and I'm a director at a BE consulting firm called Transcend Corporate Advisors. So the space that I play in is that we look at how do we ensure that organizations have the necessary strategies together with resources in place so that we can actually transform South Africa in accordance both with the legislation that's been provided to us by government, but also with regards to best practices that we've learned across the world.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for joining us, Olga. I mean, indeed, this is the amazing Olga Mishner. We've had the privilege of having her on the show before. I mean, you left a lot of us speechless last time we had you. So, you know, you could understand that we couldn't be doing justice if we're not ending up the year without ending it with you, right?
I'm grateful to be a part of you guys. Thank you so much.
Definitely. So, Olga, tell us, I mean, what has been the highlights for you in 2015? Obviously, what is the one thing that actually stood out for you this year, business-wise?
I think there's been a number of events that for me have culminated into what 2015 has been. If I could describe a theme with your permission, and that's twofold. The one is that life is a marathon. And it comes out with the likes of what happened with SAA. It comes out with the likes of what happened with PRASA.
in terms of, and also in fact FIFA. FIFA for me was quite a big highlight. I'm going to explain that just now. And that secondly, change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. It's always going to happen. Perhaps let me start with a second one in terms of high-level summary. So I work in the BEE space, and for a long time, government had told us that the BEE codes of change, the new ones, are coming into force. And many people denied it. Oh, they complained. This is not going to work. This is going to work. But they came. And then what we found is that those companies that were ready to embrace change have been able to do exceptionally well, even though the change has not always been easy, but they've been able to adjust to say, okay, we're going to do this, and we're actually going to find ourselves in a more ready space where they've become more competitive, where they are now able to not do with the stress and worry about business like everybody else has. So from a business perspective, change is inevitable. So how do you ensure that the strategies that you put in place are resilient enough to always keep up with the trend and actually be ahead of the trend, otherwise you're going to fall behind? The second, or rather the first theme that I mentioned is with regards to life as a marathon. And because life is a marathon, every single thing that you do from a business perspective today, you better believe that tomorrow there's going to be fruits in relation to that. I mean, for a while, nobody really knew what was happening from, you know, behind the scenes with FIFA. People were talking about, you know, we think that Seb Blatt is doing this, or we think that the governing body is doing that. But I'm sure that I'm not the only South African who realized afterwards that, hang on, South Africa has now been implicated in something that took place in 2010 and impacted our credibility in certain respects. We saw what the RAND did at that particular point in time. There's also examples about, you know, life being a marathon in terms of the business decisions that we make from an honesty and integrity perspective if we look at what happened with the Prasa deal. So Prasa procures all of these trains years ago, and then only now, after the procurement of those trains, does it come out that there was possibly shady deals that happened. Only now does it come out as well, the fact that these trains don't necessarily work or are going to be able to work at all places, purely because it seems, my opinion, it seems that at the time when those decisions were made, from a business perspective, people only thought about themselves versus the industries and the people within which it was going to take place.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's quite interesting what you said there, Odka. And sometimes, I mean, we don't know how these things affect us. And one of the things that maybe I think I want us to jump into, as obviously we left with a short time before the show ends, to say, I mean, a lot of companies, obviously, we've all been affected by all these things taking place in 2015. But now, I mean, how do people prepare themselves as they go into 2016? Because obviously, chances are we might have better or we might have worse in terms of what we can encounter them.
One of the things that I strongly believe in is that is get understanding in terms of where you are. There needs to be a continuous hunger to read, and watch the trends. So one of the ways that I do believe that we can get prepare ourselves, first of all, is from a mindshift mentality, is we need to know that it's going to be okay. You know, South Africa, we live in a beautiful place. Even from a business perspective, we're going to bounce back. We're going to be okay. The rand sitting at 15 rand to the dollar, or just over 15 rand, I mean, that's not great, but we'll be okay. So in that, first of all, have a, particularly to young entrepreneurs, that we will get over this, but then in getting over that is to always build a buffer with regards to fat. From a financial perspective, never putting in all of your eggs in one basket. And then secondly, ensuring that you've got sufficient fat to be able to, from a strategy perspective, always have your what ifs. What if this goes totally pear-shaped? Do I have a backup plan? And a backup plan that I'm comfortable is going to sustain me with regards to where I want to be tomorrow. And then the third thing is to always live off today what you had enough for yesterday. And what I mean by that is many a times from a spending, even if you're an individual, you spend what you have today. You've saved a little bit for tomorrow, but you spend what you have today. My challenge to everybody, and my challenge including to myself, is spend what you had yesterday. Because if you think about that, today I've got more than I had yesterday, and I'm already planting the seed for tomorrow. But if I spend according to what I had yesterday, I had less yesterday. So in my spending what I had yesterday, that I'm building not only an extra layer of fat with regards to what I've saved for today, but also what I've saved through for tomorrow. So if today doesn't always work out, then I've still got today's fat that I've built in, as well as the fat for tomorrow that could have been there. So we've got to be thinking a lot more close-knit. And I think also from a a procurement perspective or from a resources perspective, is to collaborate and to get together. You know, an example that comes to mind now is when we do stock sales, is when we as communities come together. And if we can, in that mentality as well, seek opportunities where if we need to buy stuff, if we need to be developing things, if we need to be having conversations, that we have it on a communal basis so that from a resource perspective, we're able to save. Because I don't think that it's going to get better before it gets a little bit more tough. But going back to my first point, it's definitely going to get better. So our mentality with regards to everything that we do is say, guys, we're going to bounce back from this.
So in short, you're saying we must keep the hope?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, of course. You got to keep the hope, but then be wise about how you do it practically with your finances, even with regards to the strategies that you employ.
So now tell me, I mean, Odga, in terms of now young people, obviously this time of the year, this is a point where, I mean, right now we're here discussing highlights. And I know one of the highlights that stood out is that we've had a high unemployment rate. And obviously, being December right now, there's people that don't know that the new BBBE code has actually been in effect since from May this year. So it's something obviously that is really affecting us bad as a country. I mean, to people that are listening out there that want to get into the space and that want to properly position themselves to as well benefit from the BEE strategies that you guys are implementing, what would you say to them?
First of all, the comments that you meaning, are you talking about individuals or businesses?
Individuals that want to get into businesses, because you're an individual before you get into a business.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. So the first thing goes to an earlier statement that I made with regards to get understanding. So get out there and understand the power that you have with regards to when you go and have a conversation with broader business. I mean, we saw it in the fees must fall. The students brought South Africa pretty much to a standstill. So understand, first of all, that the codes are there for you. But you've got to empower yourself with regards to how you implement them. From an implementation perspective, as an individual, know that governments, as well as small, as well as large businesses in particular, have now got a greater responsibility to engage from a sustainability perspective with small businesses. So when you go and you want to get into a particular supply chain, when you want to have a particular business encounter with an organization, don't just be thinking about the now, the short term. Be thinking about the long term and how you want not only to benefit from that relationship, but more so what we're seeing broader businesses wanting is how you can benefit them. So understand what your value is. Know the fact that they need you. And as you position yourself, be confident to say, you need me for X, Y, and Z. I can give you this, which is why I'm going to dare and ask you, not just for now only, but for more a long-term relationship with regards to where you are.
Yeah, I know. That is deep. Valuing and knowing yourself. And I mean, you realize that a lot of businesses just know that they're in business, but I've learned the hard way that most of the business, some of the business don't actually know what they do. They can't really define what they do, and they can't really define their value that they're offering to the market, the value that they're offering to the client and to the customer. The next thing tomorrow, they're the ones that come and as well complain that they're not benefiting from these BBBE deals that you guys are making and the strategies. They're only benefiting a few.
But also, in relation to that, if you don't know your value, then you don't articulate yourself well enough. There's a lot of small businesses generally that are out there. And now, first of all, the pie is big enough for all of us. But the people that are going to get the broader size of the pie are the people, because they understand their value, are going to carry themselves with their value. You know, us as entrepreneurs, particularly young entrepreneurs, they need to get to a place where they must stop doing things mediocre. Because you understand the value in your offering, then do things excellently. Do things as if you're already the biggest, most successful organization that there is. This mentality quality, I've just started up, I'm just small, so I don't need to look dignified. You know, when I go to a meeting, my presentation doesn't need to be above par. There's spelling mistakes in my PowerPoint presentation. I mean, that's just nonsense. If you understand the value where you are, even from a size perspective, you might be small, but you're like, because I'm going to go X, Y, and Z, I'm going to carry myself and I'm going to portray my business in that manner. So let's also step it up, guys, from an excellent perspective in 2016.
Yeah, no, definitely. Thanks a lot, Olga, for your quiet insight. I mean, it's quite inspirational, like always. But you know the rules here, that we usually close off the show in style with a word of 30 seconds, a word of encouragement to someone that is listening out there.
Awesomeness. Thank you. Well, to anybody that's listening, you know, once again, if I can just borrow what Debo said just now, have hope. It's been a time of ups and downs in 2015, particularly the economy, people saying it's not going to happen. But once again, the trend has been and it's going to continue to be that Africa is rising. So you need to get up where your business may have failed, get understanding in terms of why it failed, get a mentor that you can look up to, a mentor who has been through the test of time, and make a decision, Khoury. It doesn't matter how many times you're going to fall, you're going to get up, because your business will be able to be all of that and more that you want to if you continue to work honestly, with integrity, remembering that life is a marathon.
Life is indeed a marathon. And thank you for taking your time, Odga, to actually talk to us in the midst of you being on holiday and detoxing, getting ready for the new year. It's much appreciated, ma'am.
It's always a blessing to chat with you. Welcome to chat with your listeners. Thanks for having me.
No, definitely. Yeah, no, that was Olga Meshwe, and I mean, interesting that we have women that are standing out like her, and that are doing amazing things out there. You know, I actually have a friend, Gwanda Kulu, that was supposed to have been here as well. You know, she's an aspiring entrepreneur, or she is an entrepreneur, but you know what, obviously. Hopefully that we'll get to hear from people like her in the future. I mean, this message has been simple to say we've covered the highlights for 2015, what has been happening in terms of the good, what has been happening in terms of the bad. But more than anything, Bulelani, I think we're not that bad as a country. You know, I mean, it takes you traveling, going to other countries and actually realize how blessed we are at South Africa, how blessed we are as a country to say, I mean, we've got our own problems like any other country. But I think we're doing absolutely amazing compared to many other countries. I mean, and we can still improve and be better. What do you think?
I agree and I concur. It takes one traveling, moving around this beautiful continent for one to truly appreciate how, you know, how great this country is. Because, you know, a spirit of familiarity is one that's easy, easily bred into the hearts of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you start to actually perceive this country as a country that is vast with opportunities, that is a country that is open for business. I mean, you know, something that we were talking about a little bit earlier on before we got onto the show over the phone was the fact that Africa is open for business. You know, it's in your exit and entry into different parts of this beautiful country that you realize that South Africa is actually a 5-star hotel.
No, it is.
And
no,
you realize that there are glitches. In every household, there will always be glitches. Mm. And it's at the end of the day, it goes back to how you deal with those glitches. But, I mean, the opportunities that are available for you. I mean, the barrage of individuals that we had on the phone, I mean, for the past 2 hours that we've been on, I mean, I've spoken about you actually going out there and doing stuff. Has spoken about how it's not going to come on a silver platter. You need to actually make your mind up. You're going to be a success and you're going to succeed. So get information, get a mentor, get people that are going to help you move forward. Because if the country is open for opportunity, but you actually don't know how to utilize the opportunities, then you're always going to be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to be picketing outside office buildings. You're always going to be complaining and whining and always moody. But if you want to change that ideal in your life, then you need to actually align yourself with all the right people and get information. So funny that she touched on that, and we're actually talking about that earlier on in the show, that information, that this is an information emporium
for
everyone.
No, definitely. And I mean, as you say that, I mean, there's something that I mean, we spoke about hope. And I want to play in an audio from your CD that speaks about keeping the hope up. Maybe let's continue to the chat after this.
Today we're talking about keeping hope up. Keeping hope up is very important when you've got a clear vision for where you are going, because you're going to undertake challenges and a lot of ridicule. As a visionary, you live 20 years into the future, and people don't readily understand right now what you are going through. Hope is the motivation that keeps you going. Hope is your aspiration. Hope is the dreaming. Hope is the fuel that keeps the engine going. Sometimes you allow the challenges of life to bring you down. Well, this journey that you are on is not an easy one. And I can guarantee you now, any powerful and wealthy person that you look up to can tell you that they underwent a lot of challenges. There's always going to be a lot of pain, a lot of pushing, a lot of anger, a lot of strife before there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The question is, are you willing to hold on a little bit longer? Your hope will always be challenged whenever you start living your vision and your dream. understanding this, that you might not be where you want to be in life, and you might not have achieved some of the things that you were hoping to achieve right now. But this is the classic story of the rabbit and the turtle. It is not about how quick you get to the finish line, but it's all about the quality of the journey and some of the lessons that you have learned in the journey that will render you a wise person. Stop being hard on yourself. When's the last time you congratulated you for taking initiative? Why is it that of all the people that are proud of you, you are the one who is the least proud of you? Those are some of the things that kill your hope. But I need you guys today to keep your hope up. Be motivated and keep your hope up. Haters will hate and talkers will talk. But I need you to keep the hope up. So whether you have lost a loved one or are suffering the insurmountable pain of the challenges that you are undergoing, I need you to boldly walk up to your mirror, smile, and congratulate yourself on this awesome day that you are going to have. And I need you to know that everything is going to be all right. Keep hope up. My name is Bulelani Balabala, and I'm all about getting things done.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Wow, my brother, that is dope.
You know, it feels like the first time hearing that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I get so nervous listening to this stuff when I'm on my own. So I was actually forced, because I have to be in studio, and you so happen to play that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Bulelani, we've actually come to the end of the show. More than anything, I think it has been an amazing year. I know personally this has been a year of challenges, and this is as well, it has been a year of good things. I mean, for me, more than anything, even joining the family of Cliff Central, you know, even launching two TV shows, I think more than anything, business, I still have my doors open, so that, you know what, more than anything, we're looking at achieving big things, but sometimes we forget the very small things, that you know what, we need to give gratitude for. For than anything, I think for me, that's why I always said, you know what, like you've said, we gave a perfect description to say we are a 5-star as a country, as South Africa. And I think definitely as the year ends, definitely, you know what, other people might be listening and they've had a bad year, you know, and they've thought of giving up. But there's others that unfortunately are not here to celebrate this day. I mean, we just come from Christmas. In few days time, on the 31st, it's actually my birthday.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
Yeah, it is. It's actually my birthday. So and more than anything, I think I'm grateful. And I think if ever, I mean, we keep on having platforms like Cliff Central, platforms that are out there, others, you know, actually being open to share business, to share politics, to share news, to share insights with people, and more than anything, people's lives transforming daily. I think definitely we're heading in the right direction.
No, definitely. I mean, I think from my side, it's been an interesting year. Being an entrepreneur and all, I mean, there have been interesting changes in the company. You then start to then see that some of the guys that you had on board need to actually be reshuffled, because, you know, we're growing at such an exponential rate. Nothing comparable to your rate. So
what's that supposed to be?
Meaning that you're on that level. You see that? No, but we've been growing quite well. We've experienced a very good year. I won't lie, as a company, I mean, 2 months ahead of our financial year end, we've done quite well. But in doing well, there's a lot of mistakes that you also pick up. So, I mean, we then need to then tighten those screws as well. And I mean, I think my life has just gotten ridiculously busy because of the talks that I'm doing now. I mean, we're back on tour, second week of January, pushing the audio. I want to sell 40,000 copies of that. And we're on Cliff Central, which is a platform that we're very grateful of, more regularly than we were on. So it's actually a nice learning curve, especially on hosting the show. But I think more than anything, learning also to monetize on the different individuals that I also get to meet, so that you build a very fruitful business life as well.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, when you look at, I haven't experienced any December, not to kill anyone else's spirit.
No,
always working. But I mean, I think that's what you guys need to always do. Yeah. I mean, if you want it that bad, if you really, really wanted that bad.
That is your 30 seconds already, ne?
Yeah, so oh, 30 okay. seconds, yeah. I mean, if you really want it that bad, then you actually have to make up your mind that you're going to do away with the momentary gratification and then stick to what you were born to do, stick to what you actually want to see happen in your life. I often tell people that you do in the first hour what you actually want to see happen for the rest of the whole entire day. So preparation is everything. So when you're going through a very hard December now, a very hard festive season now, you're going through whatever you're going through now because you're preparing for a very fresh year, a relaxed year. Mm. I mean, we see, you know, there's one client that I have who's... Okay, I won't tell you about the client. But yeah,
tell us about the client next week.
Yeah, I'll tell you about the client next week. Yeah, because guys go out there, do stuff, do amazing things, kill.
No, definitely. This is all that we had for you today on 360 Biz. Thank you for listening. And more than anything, have a blessed, festive season, what's remaining of it. And definitely, let's go out there and make the best.